Sorry. I didn't get a chance to tell him before he came up here that we're nixing the video. We'll do it next week. Amen. How are we doing this morning? All right, good. Very quickly, before we get into the message, and we're starting a new series this week. Somebody moved the Gospel of Mark around. Here it is. Mark chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 15. Mark 16, 15. This pertains to the people that come up here for healing this morning. Jesus speaking, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, say signs. And these signs will follow those who what?
Believe.
In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. Look at the next phrase. They will do what? They will lay hands on the sick and they will
recover.
They will recover. Amen. They will recover. Now, I bring this up whenever we have an invitation for people to come to receive, because sometimes it happens like this, and sometimes it's a process. Jesus said, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll do what?
Recover.
So the process of recovery was set into motion when you came up here, those of you that come up here. Now, there's some that received instantly. Okay, you got that? Now, don't mix up miraculous healing with healing that is received by faith. It's two different things. Okay? We can receive healing anytime. Those of you that come up here, you could receive healing this morning while you're brushing your teeth at home. Okay? Because it's something you take hold of by faith because Jesus already promised it to us. Okay? Then there's the miraculous type of healings that come from the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God wills. We don't have any control over that. We can position ourselves for that. We can make ourselves available and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, however you want to move, please do. But the Holy Spirit doesn't always move that way. So what do you do then if you're in need and you have pain and you're suffering, but there's no apparent supernatural, out of left field, nobody knew it was coming type of move of the Spirit? Well, God doesn't want you to just be suffering. So he gives us a promise in the word that you and I can act on at any moment, at any time. And so whenever we pray for people like this, we'll always, always say, well, at least I will anyway, Father, in obedience to your word and the command that the Lord Jesus gave us, I lay hands on my brother, my sister, whoever the person is, and we're standing in faith now to bring to pass the promise that you gave us. You see the difference? Okay, sometimes that can be instantaneous also. But in case it's not, don't walk back to your seat and go, well, I didn't get anything. No, you take it by faith. So what do you do if the symptom persists? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that Sunday morning at the 9 o'clock service, hands were laid upon me in accordance to the word. I thank you that my recovery is in process right now. Don't let go of it. Don't let go of it. And don't disconnect it by saying, oh, nothing happened. Oh, I know this wasn't going to work. Well, if you knew it wasn't going to work when you come up here, that's why it didn't work to begin with. Because you will have whatever you say. Amen?
Yes.
So let's say this together. Father, thank you for your mercy towards us.
Thank you for your grace.
Towards those who needed healing. And we thank you that that recovery is in progress right now, even as we speak, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're starting a new series. It's going to be a few weeks. Honestly, I wish I could teach the whole thing in one shot, because I know this is extremely timely right now. And I could bear witness to that by last night's service. The title is Issues of the Heart. Now I'm going to, really, today is introducing this whole concept. But we're going to get into some things over the next few weeks. Specific areas where people have heart conditions that are stopping them and blocking them and hindering individuals from living life according to the plan that God has specifically for you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
And it's extremely important that we take care of this issue now, time-wise. So give me the opportunity to lay a foundation here so that we can build something powerful on this over the next few weeks.
Amen.
Which tells us that you can't afford to miss anything over the next few weeks.
Amen. That's right.
I'll do it over here.
Amen.
Don't put in your head, well, if I can't make it, I'll just listen to the video. I'll watch a video. That you can watch a video, but that should be the last resort. That shouldn't be like your plan B. That should be last resort thing. Because you don't receive in a video from everything else that happens in the service. Like, for instance, people that couldn't make it here today, they're going to watch the video. But what if they needed healing in their body? Okay? You see what I'm saying? So don't use it as an excuse. Well, if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I'll watch it online. Because I'll pull it offline. Hallelujah. Now, let me remind you of this, because I know we do have a lot of newcomers, every single week, there's more and more new people coming. If God forbid everybody showed up at the same time, we'd be in big trouble. And while I'm on that subject, look, there's more and more people coming all the time. We only have so many parking spaces right now, okay? We are making plans for that. We'll be announcing that probably next month. But in the meantime, if you come in the future and you have a hard time parking here on this physical parking lot, okay, the thrift store, that's our property also, okay? You can park there. The lot on the corner here, which I don't even know what business is there anymore. It used to be the kitchen plate. What is it?
Monuments
or whatever it is. The building right on the corner there, we lease that. We have, that's accessible to us. You can park there, okay? But also now, which is coming into our possession, the old Pizza Hut property down the street, okay, we should be closing on that property next week. Okay, you can park there, all right? You say, well, it's far. Yeah, we know that. So there's a shuttle that runs continuously. It's make-believe you're at Disney World, okay? Just go park there. But don't spin around the lot and go, oh, there's no place to park. I can't believe this place. I'm just going to go home. Go down the street. Go park over there. And then, honestly, I don't know if I should say that. There's another place, but I need to make sure that they know that we're going to park there before I go announcing that. So, but, you know, we're making provision. It's not like we're sitting on our hands and saying, well, tough if somebody can. And please, please, don't park on the streets back here unless you absolutely have to. Okay? We're here to impact this neighborhood for good. Not to make them curse us under their breath because they can't get in and out of their driveways. Please don't do that. And if you get a ticket there, it's your fault that you got a ticket. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. These are good problems to have.
Amen.
But don't, make sure, if you can't find a parking space around here, there's 65 parking spaces down at the pizza. Go there. There's a shuttle. There's actually two shuttles that run continuously, and they'll bring you right to the front door. You can get out. You don't have to walk. You can just walk into the building. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, if you're new to New Beginnings, we are a teaching church. That is our emphasis here, is teaching the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is the vehicle of growth that God has provided for us. We love praise and worship, but honestly, praise and worship's not for us. Praise and worship's for Him.
Amen.
And that's why many times we see the Holy Spirit moving during praise and worship, because when you praise God and worship God, He comes, according to principles in the Old Testament, and comes and inhabits the praises of His people. And so when He inhabits the praises of His people, then he is God and He knows what's going on in each one of our lives.
Amen.
And that's when He'll move, when we have our eyes fixed upon Him and He's got our attention. Then he can move in that way. But we are predominantly a teaching church. So if you come here expecting, fairy tales and cute stories and spectacles and all that kind of stuff, that's not who we are, okay? Our reliance is upon the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, so you ready?
Yes.
We're going to lay the foundation today. All right, so at the Last Supper, Jesus spent hours teaching and giving final instructions to his disciples. He revealed to them the why, the how, the when, all that he was going to suffer. And in the middle of all that, he makes an interesting statement. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you. What are these things? He's talking about everything that's recorded from John chapter 13 all the way through John chapter 16 into John chapter 17. Amen? These things I've spoken to you that in me, say in me, in him, let's say in him, not me, in him. In him, or in Jesus said, in me, you may have what?
Peace.
Now say it like you really need it. You may have what?
Peace.
In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he has overcome the world and we're in him, guess what? We've overcome the world.
Amen.
Now, I want to go through some words here because this is one of those portions of scripture that gets flippantly just thrown out there. Now, Jesus said, we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, let's drill down a little bit and see what he's actually, let's unpack this whole thing. Because the unfortunate thing about the English language is it's extremely limited. And we have to go back to the original language to really understand the meat of what God wants to get to us when he uses certain words. Okay. So he said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace. Now, he's been preparing them because he's going to leave. They're at the table. They're enjoying a meal together. They don't have any clue what's going to happen in the next 12 to 24 hours. The first word I want to bring your attention is the word tribulation. The Greek word here is the word thlipsis. I like the way that sounds, so let's say that. Thlipsis. Get the thing right. Get the tongue. Thlipsis. Thlipsis. We can go home and say we learned Greek today. Thlipsis can be translated, and is many times in different scriptures where it's used, pressure. Pressure. So in this world, he said, you're going to have pressure, compression, affliction. This one's what you're seeing the most manifest lately. Distress of mind, distressing circumstances, trials, affliction. That's an awesome promise from God. You're going to have these things. They're going to come to pass, especially in the age that we're living in right now. The second word I want to bring your attention to is the word overcome. It's the Greek word nikeo, where we get the word Nike. Is anybody wearing any Nikes today? Okay. It means to conquer, to vanquish. I like the word vanquish. See, if I conquer something or I subdue something, it's bending, but it's still there. If I vanquish something, it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Hallelujah.
So he's saying we can have that in this world. Even though there's mental stress, distress of mind, pressure, compression, affliction, we can have that. Then the other word that's interesting is world, which is the word in Greek, cosmos. This is interesting because it doesn't just mean the physical planet that we live on. In the New Testament mindset, it means the present order of things, the secular world. It's the human race external to the Jewish nation, the heathen world. In other words, the unbelieving world, the world external to Christian body. What are we talking about here? When that word cosmos is used, it's signifying not just the physical planet, but the entire system that's operating on this planet that is not only foreign to the kingdom of God, it's in direct conflict to the kingdom of God, which is the reason why we as Christians many times experience distress of mind. We experience pressure. Has anybody felt any pressure on your life lately? This is crazy, okay? We live in a very complicated life, very complicated time period in human history. My wife and I talk about this all the time. And we're like, man, we remember when we were young, we first got married. Life was never as complicated as this. And this generation now, my heart goes out to you guys. Life is complicated. It is ridiculous. You can understand why some people would want to shut down. And so though that pressure is coming from the world system that we are subjected to, but we're not really part of it, but we've got to live in the midst of it. So I kind of sum this up of what Jesus was saying in John 16 this way. Jesus was saying, while under this present world system, which is not my kingdom, there will be extreme pressure, affliction, distress of mind. Don't let that depress you or bog you down, because I, who have come from another kingdom system, have defeated and subdued this present world system that has nothing to do with my promises and does not reflect my character. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And the stress that we feel as Christians sometimes is we know in our spirit, we know that we belong to another kingdom. But here we are physically in this present world system. And you feel like the tug. Your flesh wants to go this way. Sometimes your soul wants to go this way because you're the part of your soul or the parts of your soul that have not yet come under subjection to the Word of God are still going to think like this present world system. Yet your spirit, which is tasted of the other kingdom, wants that for your life. And so we struggle. We're constantly tempted. We're constantly torn. And if you put on top of that, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, if the heart condition is not right, it complicates things even more. I'm probably a week or two ahead of myself here with making this statement. If your heart is not strong and you're living in this present world system, which Ephesians calls this present darkness, okay, then you're not going to have the stability that you need. You're not going to be able to muster up what you're going to need, the stamina emotionally to put up with all the trials. Now, specifically, next week we're going to talk about, I don't know, should I even mention this? Next week we're going to talk about the damaging effects of bitterness and resentment. Again, this is why I said I wish I could teach the whole thing in one shot, but I can't. Devastating effects on our heart. Ephesians 6:12. Now watch this now. We got to understand this because so many Christians are walking around. I don't understand why I feel like I'm being beat up all the time. I don't understand why I feel like something that I can't see is just taking a 2x4 to me. And I just feel totally brutalized because you have an enemy. And look at me. Your enemy is not people. Yet the enemy uses people to inflict damage in us, to inject poison into our system, so that we spin our wheels fighting a person instead of fighting the true enemy of our souls. Ephesians 6:12. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Is anybody getting anything yet this morning? You're kind of leaving me hanging here. Give me some grunts, anything, wink, do something. Because I got a lot of material to cover, okay? I need to know that I can go on. For our struggle is not flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the wicked forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. You and I have an enemy that hates us. And as we're living in this realm, there's a thin veil that separates us from this natural realm and the supernatural realm. In the supernatural realm, we're surrounded by darkness. You have an enemy. The evil spirits, demons. What a cheerful thing to discuss on a Sunday morning. But the truth of the matter is, you got somebody that wants to beat you up. And not to get into this a lot, maybe in the future we'll do a series just on this. I just don't like talking a lot about the kingdom of darkness, because the more you talk about the kingdom of darkness, the more it manifests. I was in a service one time, many years ago, on a Friday night. The church I used to be in, it was called Victory in Jesus. So a lot of people that were recovering those things, people that were dealing with mental issues, and people that came from halfway houses, all this kind of stuff. So it was decided by whoever that this certain individual who had been really very deeply involved in the occult was going to be given the opportunity to give a testimony. I think you were there. I know Donnie was. And this person, they give the microphone to this person, because nobody ever vetted the person. Nobody ever said, hey, what are you going to talk about? Nobody said, hey, submit your notes to us so we can look it over. So this person talks about all the hellish things that was done to her since the time she was a child. Darkness, witchcraft, all kinds of crazy, evil, occult stuff. I know. I was there when this woman got delivered from demons. But now she's telling the whole story. And I'm sitting in the back of the room. I'm going, oh, dear God, is she going to stop? Because the more she talked about, and they were facts. They weren't fairy tales. But the more she talked about darkness, the darker the atmosphere got. And then after 45 minutes of absorbing this vomit, then she says, and then I got saved in Jesus and everything good. I'm like, and that's supposed to counter all this slop. So I hesitate to talk a lot of this stuff. But the fact of the matter is, there is a kingdom of darkness. Paul is detailing for us the hierarchy, the rankings of spirits in that kingdom. And they are assigned against mankind because they can't get to God. They can't damage God. So the very next thing that they'll go after is his children. Okay? These are real entities. Okay? But the name of Jesus will paralyze them every single time. Amen. They'll come in the form of oppression, depression, physical illness, sometimes masquerade as mental illness, sometimes masquerade as physical illness. Whenever you read the Gospels and you read and it says a spirit of infirmity, that is a demon that's masquerading as a physical sickness. And that's why sometimes a person go to the doctor for years and they'll say, we just don't understand what it is. We can't find anything wrong. That's because it's not in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So that's what we're contending with. So in this life, under this present darkness, bad things happen. Tragedies strike and danger is all around us. We get hurt. People disappoint us. We disappoint people. It happens. But listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. If some of you going through some things now, you look like, am I ever going to get to the other side of this hell? Yeah. And when you get to the other side, the glory that's going to be revealed is going to cause you to think of, did I even go through anything? It'll be that stark. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Okay, the earth itself is groaning right now. Earthquakes. All kinds of craziness happening in nature. The earth itself is groaning, waiting for its creator to appear again.
Amen?
Amen? So, it's not time to ignore all the bad stuff that's happening on a national level, on an international scale. No more than we should ignore all our personal tragedies and wounds. You don't deal with stuff by ignoring them. You deal with them. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
We've been subjected to this stuff for a long time. Every one of us in this room could sit here if we pass the mic around and have some kind of a story. Because this is the fact of life. You're either in the middle of something right now, or you're on your way out, or you're on your way in. You're either going into something, you're in the middle of it, or you're on your way out. But everybody's always going through something. Yes or no?
Yes.
So what are we supposed to do? In this season that we're in right now? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Because the attacks are not going to get fewer. They're going to continue. Because one fact that the church refuses to understand is that this is the tactic of the spirit of the Antichrist. John wrote in his Gospels, in the first Gospel, chapter 2, that the spirit of Antichrist was already at work. That was 2,000 years ago. The spirit of the enemy is preparing the world for the next catastrophe. And so one of the tactics that's revealed to us, and it's revealed to us in the book of Daniel, and I pray that you go and look it up, is that he will wear out the saints. And it's amazing how so many people feel worn out in this season that we're in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just one, two, three. How many of you have gone through seasons, especially in the past couple of years, where you feel completely worn out? Like somebody just washed you out and hung you on the line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The rest of you are going to sit here in denial. Now, why do we need this teaching right now? Because for the full practical purposes, as many of us in this room, we've been living like this for decades. Heart conditions unresolved. I'm not talking about physical ones. I'm talking about spiritual ones. But it's funny how they mimic the physical ones. When there's issues that are unresolved in our heart, and when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about we're talking about the Bible, when it uses the word heart, Greek cardia, okay, it's talking about the core of your being, who you are on the inside, what your personality, your character, your soul, everything, the way you think, the way you make decisions, the way you process through situations. When you have unresolved issues, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, we're going to talk about divided heart. We're going to talk about, this is a scary one, a heart that is bound to iniquity. We're going to talk about all these things. We're going to do like as if you went to the cardiologist. He goes, we're going to do this whole thing. Something's wrong. The cardiologist says, something's wrong. We don't know exactly what it is, but something's wrong. And so we want to get to the bottom of this, so we're going to run through all these tests. We're going to do an EKG. We're going to do an echocardiogram. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to do a stress test, but that's always fun. So that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks, because something's wrong. Now, why do we need this now? Because whether you want to realize it or not, or whether you want to acknowledge it or not, something drastically changed a week ago. Amen. The world is not the same. The church is not supposed to be the same, but unfortunately, the majority of the church wants to walk around like, everything's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. No, we're not okay. And if we don't get okay, and if we don't get rid of the blockages, and if we don't get rid of the deficiencies, and if we don't strengthen our hearts, we're not going to be prepared for the multitudes of new believers that are are coming into the church. I've been saved for 41 years. For 41 years, I've heard people pray about revival. Revival. We need revival. We need revival. We need revival. And I've seen them here and there. We've experienced them. But what the church does not realize, and what some Christians don't want to realize because it takes work, is that we went from a revival. We went from revival. The church has been in revival for the past 3 years. It's there if you want it. It's like anything else. You go to a buffet. I like this, don't like that. And so some people have partaken of that spirit of revival. And the spirit of revival, like we talked about a few weeks ago, starts here. It starts with us first. You, if you're not experiencing revival yourself, you can go to every revival meeting all over the world and you'll still sit there as a spectator. Because you got to want it. You can't, if you're satisfied with the status quo and you're satisfied being stagnated, then you're not going to want anything. If you blow yourself, if you stop on the way home, your wife has got a beautiful meal prepared for you, your family sat at the table, but you stop and you get a 32-ounce Slurpee on the way home, guess what? When you go sit at the table, it could be the best meal. You're going to go, oh, I feel so bloated. Well, yeah, you just stuffed yourself with garbage, and that's what the church has been doing for years. Filling up on garbage, stuffing themselves with garbage. And so some of us are not hungry. I'm hungry. I want to see the fulfillment of the promises that God made when we first started this ministry. And that was that this church would be instrumental in bringing revival to the Jersey Shore. Plain and simple, that's the mandate. So last week, when that tragedy took place, when that precious young man was cut down, it shook the world. The church is too busy going, I don't know. I don't know if I agree. Who cares what you agree with? The guy was preaching the gospel. And while the church is busy deciding whether they like the guy or not, the world is going, something's wrong here. This guy was just trying to tell everybody truth. And having, I'm not talking about political truth. I'm talking about scriptural truth. The guy backed everything he said with the word. And it wasn't even stretching the word. It's there, black and white. How do you not see it? Yes. So while the church is debating, the world is standing up and going, I need what that guy had. Amen. Some of you in this room today because of what happened last week. We see people coming back that weren't in church for God knows how long. I feel like it's time to get back. Yeah, of course it's time to get back. But what we need to understand and realize that if you're going to be part of this church, you're either going to be part of it and jump in it or go find another country club someplace. Amen. We're going after it. Amen. We're going after everything the Holy Ghost wants to do. We're going to reach everybody we possibly can while we have the time that we can do it. Amen. But last week, everything shifted in the spirit. It was instantaneous. It was like God in heaven went like this. I'm turning the page. Watch this. Bam. Everything changed. And what's significant about it is it changed in the world outside of the church. They want to hear truth now. They don't want fairy tales. They don't want stupid stories. They don't want to come to church and get the tap dance and all kinds of other tchotchkes thrown at them. They want truth. And I thank God for this generation that's not going to settle for the BS that we settled for and said, tell me the truth. I don't care how hard it is. Tell me the truth. We don't have time. Oh, my God. What time is it already? Thank you, but we don't have time. Send me a note later, just whatever. But listen to me. We got to be prepared to receive them. Amen. And if you're so bound up with these things in your heart, you're going to live a life that's distracted. And for their sake, we got to get the junk. We got to get the blockages out. We got to get healed. We got to get stable. We got to get solid. Because they're coming in with big problems, issues, baggage, trunk loads of baggage. And here we are still trying to sort out our baggage for decades. When, like it says in Hebrew, the time that you should be eating meat, you're still sucking on milk. And I'm sorry, I'm not angry. I'm passionate about this. I'm not angry. But I'm going to do everything possible for new beginnings to be prepared. That no matter who walks through that door, no matter how many problems they have, no matter how atrocious their background might be, we're ready and able to meet their needs. Amen. Additionally, the people around us suffer when our heart condition is off. Where do we start? Psalm 139. David, the adulterer. David, the murderer. But David, who God said he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because when David would recognize, man, I am messed up. What did he do? Sit there and try to justify it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Look at this. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The king of Israel knew that he could, well, listen to this. He knew that he could not effectively rule and guide God's people unless his heart was pure, unless his heart was right.
Amen.
It's all about the motives. And I don't know about you, if you're even willing to admit that, but I've had to come with some things face to face. I've had to come face to face with some things and think and go, I thought my motive was right, but it wasn't. I thought I had the right agenda here, but man, now that I look back, and that's what David's doing. When your spiritual heart is sick, we may face symptoms such as paralyzing anxiety, out of control rage, marriage in distress, financial chaos, and everything else that goes along with it. It's like anything else. So many times we can be sick and not even pay attention to the symptoms because they sneak up so slowly. And yet you go to the doctor and they can look at you. And immediately, by the color of your skin, by the tone of your skin, by the color of your eyes. They could tell something's wrong. You don't know because you didn't realize it because it snuck up on you so subtly. There was a very well-known pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma years ago. Billy Joe Dougherty. Young man, he was only in his 40s. Had to take one of his family members to the emergency room because of something that I think it was his son or daughter was going through. And as the doctor or the nurse is examining the person that he brought in, she looks at him and said, she knew who he was, Pastor, have you been feeling this, that, the other thing? And he went, yeah. She had noticed something with his neck. She had noticed something here with his throat. And they called the doctor in immediately. I think it was less than a year he was gone. A symptom that he had, little tiny little symptoms that he was experiencing that he overlooked because you're busy and you're busy and you're busy and you're busy. Yet somebody with a trained eye, they recognized the symptom immediately. And us? We don't recognize a subtle little, maybe we're reacting like something that should have this much of a reaction, all of a sudden we're given this much of a reaction. And we don't realize it because our personality has shifted subtly. Or the people around us don't want to jeopardize the relationship, so they don't say anything. But the symptoms were there. And the symptom is always an indicator of a greater problem, a deeper problem. We don't even realize ourselves maybe when our hearts start shifting. Maybe very subtly, we lose our compassion for other people. Maybe very subtly, we lose our patience for people. And we use the Christianese excuse. Well, you know, I just don't have grace for that anymore. Well, why? Why don't you have grace for that anymore? Is it possible there's something that went on here that's blocking that grace? Because loss of grace doesn't always signify the change of a season, although it can. A loss of grace can also indicate the subtle appearance of pride. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. So as we go on in life and we ignore these little symptoms here and there, then all of a sudden one day and we got full-blown a heart condition. Because we ignored it. Just like in the physical, you can ignore it. A little bit of a shortness of breath. I'll be okay. Maybe it's the pepperoni pizza I ate last night. And you go on and on and on and on. And then sometimes by the time you get to the doctor, they're like, man, if you would have came 2 years ago, we could have helped you with something. But what's my goal here? My goal here in this series is not to dig up wounds, open them up again, and pour salt in them. What it is let's get this stuff settled. Let's get our hearts healthy so that we are equipped for whoever God sends to us, whoever we meet on the streets, whoever we work with, whoever our extended family members are, that we are equipped to be a blessing to them and not further burden them as they're trying to walk through their issues. Imagine going to the doctor, you sit there, you tell him what's going on, he goes, yeah, you know, last night I woke up with this pain. You're like, doc, I'm here for me, and you're telling me your problems? Now, I didn't get anywhere near where I did last night. They listened better. But we're going to talk about this. How many of you right now realize this is an important thing?
Amen.
I pray for the rest of you to come to the place where you're willing to recognize I may have a heart condition. So that you would allow the Holy Spirit, because this is what the Holy Spirit's like. The Holy Spirit does not invade people's lives. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is peace. The Holy Spirit is gentle. And he will not go where he's not welcome. And he will not step into a room that you don't want to unlock the door and let him in. But I pray that every single one of us comes to the place where you're willing to be vulnerable, not with me, not with the person that's around you, but you're willing to put yourself in the hands of God and be vulnerable in love. And I know it can be hurtful sometimes. And that's where the real problem comes in. The enemy convinces us, no, don't go there. It's gonna hurt you too much.
Yeah.
Don't let them pick at that. Don't let God take that scab off.
Yeah.
Just hold on to it. You made it this far, you'll be okay. That's the trick of the enemy. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every single one of us is willing to become vulnerable and transparent before God, like David. Search my heart. Did you ever think about this? He wrote this down. This wasn't just him in his, you know, by himself, just him and God. Hey, listen, God, I wouldn't say this for everybody, but God, I want you to search my heart. He wrote this down. We're still talking about David's prayer of vulnerability almost 3,000 years later.
Awesome.
Let's get to that place where we allow ourselves the permission to be vulnerable. Not with each other. I pray in the name of Jesus that every single person in this room has wisdom and discernment. You can't just throw your stuff out there for just anybody. You'll end up with worse problems, then you'll feel betrayed, and now you'll end up with a worse heart condition. But we need to let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts, and we need to be vulnerable enough to say, here, do what you got to do. EKG, echocardiogram, open heart surgery, whatever is needed. And this is the greatest thing about salvation, because Jesus offers us a new heart.
Amen.
Jesus offers us a new heart.
Amen.
He's the greatest heart transplant doctor that's ever existed.
Amen.
And there are some in this room this morning, you need a new heart. In the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel said, God spoke through him and said to the nation of Israel, I will take out your stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's, you look it up in the original language, a heart that's malleable, a heart that I can shape and mold the way I want.
Amen.
Listen to me. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never prayed a simple prayer and declared faith in Jesus Christ, you're carrying around a heart of stone. He wants to take that heart out and wants to give you a new heart. That's what the whole thing about being born again is all about. Not talking about that pump that's keeping the blood flowing through your body. He's talking about the very core of your being. If you put it in his hands, he will shape it and mold it in such a way that you'll wake up one day and go, man, I am not the same person I used to be.
Amen.
I'm out of time. I'm just going to throw this out there. Stand up, everybody, because we're going to get dismissed. I'm talking to those that have never received Christ as Lord and Savior. When we're dismissed and everybody walks out of this room, if you want to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord, you want us to pray with you and lead you in a prayer of salvation, will you receive that new heart? Will you step into your future with God? Will you never have to worry about going to bed? If God forbid I don't wake up, I don't know where I'm going to end up for all of eternity. All of those questions will get settled for you. When everyone else is dismissed, you come up front. Now, to the rest of us. What I'm going to offer you cannot be accomplished here. You need to have an encounter with God Himself. You need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And I pray that at some point today, tomorrow, within the next few days, that you get alone with God and you pray the prayer that David prayed. God, search my heart. Is there hardness there? Is there bitterness there? Is there resentment there? Is there doubt there? Is there iniquity there? Is my heart divided? Let Him show you what you need and then give Him permission to do surgery. You can't accomplish that here. You need an encounter with the Holy Ghost, just you and Him. And I pray that you will seek that out. Because if you do, by the time we come back next weekend, you'll already see the difference. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Those of you that want to pray the prayer of salvation, please come up here.